This edition of The Stack was first broadcast on the 5th of December 2015 on Monocle 24.
The sweet smell of gingerbread is in the air and the Christmas carols are in full swing. You can probably hear a bit of building noise in the background as well. We're live at the Monocle Christmas Market alongside some familiar voices from Midori House and some of our favourite retailers. So what's in our forecast for this festive season? Well, that's today live on The Stack. On today's show, we're outside in the cool, crisp Marylebone air amongst reindeer and mulled wine as we broadcast live from the Monocle Christmas Market. We'll be speaking to some of our favourite retailers on display here at the Market. Plus, we'll check in with some very familiar voices from across Monocle 24 to hear about what books and magazines they're looking forward to giving and, of course, finding in their stockings this Christmas. That's today on this very, very special edition of The Stack live at the Monocle Christmas Market. Hello and welcome to The Stack. We're live this morning here in London at the Monocle Christmas Fair. Just behind me, there is a small corral. We're waiting for some, I'm not sure how fluffy the animals are going to be, but someone who is very fluffy this morning is my co-host, Georgina Godwin, looking foxy and coyote, I would say. Coyote or is it fox? I don't know.
Do you know, I'm not quite sure. In fact,
looks good, whatever it is.
I prefer my fur to be from sort of unknown products.
Also around the table this morning, our editor Andrew Tuck is here, looking foxy, also looking a little bit puffed up because you've got like a lot of you're showing a lot of chest, not showing a lot of chest. There's just you're kind of puffed up like a bit of a Christmas chook over there.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a nice kind of down on, ready for the day here. I thought that pen was for me at first. I thought I was going to be herded in there for my bit of the radio show.
Well, all we've got behind you, Andrew, there's some small tufts of hay. I'm not sure what those, all of those, I guess that must be feed in those black bags behind you, but we should probably set up the scene. You know, Georgina, you've been talking about it this morning. There's a lot on the go. You can also probably hear in the background as well, a lot of construction, which will end normally around midday. They're building a rather large structure beside us here at Midori House. But we're about 56 minutes away, almost 55 minutes away right now until we throw open the doors for our Christmas market. And in years past, we probably brought in about 4,000 or 5,000 people over the weekend. We have diplomatic representation here, Switzerland back. Everyone loves a bit of raclette. I know you'll be tucking in, Andrew. A little Swiss red as well, maybe.
And I was just seeing former correspondent in Beirut, Carol Corms, here with her team from Lebanon. So she's they're setting up stall at this very moment as well. So it's nice to see some familiar faces. People have gone from the journalistic side to becoming kind of good old street traders.
Yeah, no, I think that always happens. Georgina, what you've probably done a small tour, but it's I have to say, there's a few also people who are only sort of just arriving now to set up their stalls. So we'll be doing a bit of a tour a little bit later on. What are you looking forward to in terms of returning participants?
Well, of course, our VIP for Finland. He's the main one for me, the main man. I'm actually hoping that I might get a photograph, perhaps sitting on his knee.
You should say this is Santa Claus.
Yeah,
I was going to say Santa Claus. That's a kind of a whole different game.
Yeah, we're waiting for the arrival of Santa. And you know, Santa, of course, arrives every year. Normally, sort of, he doesn't like to get here too early. He knows his audience. He wants to keep them waiting. He doesn't sort of, you know, just take his perch with one or two kids. He wants sort of a whole audience. So, of course, Santa is official. And we've done stories over this over the years as well. It is a bit of a big diplomatic spat as to where Santa comes from, because the Danes like to claim him, saying that he actually lives in Greenland. Of course, that's an autonomous territory. But the Finns won't have any of it, will they?
Well, and Italy too. I mean, he's from Bari originally, isn't he?
Well, and the Norwegians would like to have him as well. I think there's a bit of a tussle. I think they kind of settle on, okay, the Finns, you can have Father Christmas if Norway can have the Northern Lights. There's a bit of a, who's going to get that kind of winter visitor?
Well, yeah, and we say that, and then we were just flying across the North Atlantic only a few weeks ago, and I think that Iceland would have something to say about the Northern Lights as well.
Yeah, Iceland's doing very well at kind of keeping their inns and the hostelries full winter time with people going to see those lights.
Well, we're going to be talking a lot today about people's probably key wishes for the holiday season, of course, in print form. And we have a very fine edition. I got back from Hong Kong just yesterday, and Andrew, you know it always makes me somewhat annoyed that when an edition arrives and I'm not in the office, because I love when it hits my desk first. But you were able to cast your eyes on this this very fine little product that we only finished about 8 days ago.
It's the second outing for the forecast, and I think that last year when we did it for the first time, there was a bit of magic that happened between us sending the pages and it arriving in the office. It came together in such an amazing way that I think we're all a little bit hesitant this year. You know, would it be the same again? And there's something wonderful. It's come back in and we all like it. There's, whenever you get the magazine, sometimes you think, oh, I wish that had worked a bit different, or I wish that had happened. But it's, again, one of those times when it comes in and you turn the pages. And we were saying that's interesting is, you know, it's about lots of serious topics and interesting topics and quirky topics, but the whole thing comes across in a nice, playful, entertaining mood as well.
Just for those listeners who are not familiar with it, so the forecast, as Andrew said, was something that we launched last year. We really, I guess it was part of it, because our December-January issue comes out mid-November, we felt that by the time probably most of our audience was getting on the plane properly at Christmas time, they wanted something else to read at that point. And so, of course, we had Alpino. We've now folded Alpino into the December-January issue. And this really sort of fills a different type of reading gap in a way.
The other thing is that we get it to stay on newsstand for up to 6 months in some markets. So it's a bit of a primer about not just the year ahead. And I think that's the other thing. We looked at the newsstand. We saw there were other people, of course, who did, you know, their predictions for the year or what's going to happen in the next 12 months. We felt there was something that you could do which was a bit longer view, that was kind of setting out trends and ideas that would last maybe the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and doing it in a way that was a bit of reinventing again on the newsstand. So when we look at our rivals who've come out in the same couple of weeks, I think we feel that we've done something quite fresh.
Yeah, there's a bit more of a thump factor to it for sure. Not to put you on the spot, Georgina, anything stand out already in terms of what's in the lineup?
A couple of things, actually. I love the Antwerp monocle guy. Gosh, can you hear that
wind? Everyone can hear the heavens above us. It's absolutely crazy storm which is lashing up. And anyway, it's not seeing the forecast out of London today. They're calling for at least 45 mile an hour winds.
Yeah,
my goodness. Anyway,
it's quite blurry.
the Weather Network. We're about to lose.
Our umbrella
might
go. So,
right.
This is very exciting.
A tornado whipping up in the hay behind you.
what I'm loving is Tom Edwards, who is actually physically holding down various bits of.
Anyway,
there we go.
It's excited.
The Antwerp. Your pull-out kind of guide, monocle guide to Antwerp. Mm. I think looks very, very exciting.
Are you thinking about a little jump across the channel to Flanders over the holidays?
I think, well, you know what? I think that looking at this, I'm very, very tempted. And of course, it tells you exactly where to go, where to eat, what to buy, and all the rest of it. And the other thing that really struck me is the very back page, which is the Chinese year it's the year of the ape, I believe.
Yes. We should stay on the cover. We have a very cheeky monkey on the cover.
We do have a cheeky monkey on the cover. So we've worked with the same Japanese artist as we did last year. And we've kind of gone for sort of a gentleman and a monkey. There's nothing sort of untoward about any of it, but they're both in an onsen. And I like, Andrew, how you sort of set it up. But this is about a time of sort of contemplating and thinking, and that's what they're doing, at least above the surface anyway.
That's what the gentleman's doing. He's having serene thoughts about the year. He's getting his act together for 2016.
Well, we have a lot more to discuss on the program. And of course, Christmas is about sort of 2 weeks away, at least until we close down in these offices, but indeed officially probably 3 weeks away. Across the program, we're going to be hearing from our colleagues at Midori House, what they would like to see under the tree in their Christmas stockings in terms of all things print related. Let's have a listen.
I am Marco Sippi from Monocle 24, and there are two presents I'd like for this Christmas. The first one is a subscription of Stack, which is a service that sends you a different independent magazine each month. I enjoy magazines, I want to be surprised, and I think a service like this makes it a little bit easier to make new discoveries. Secondly, I'd like a subscription of Finnish Image magazine, or Imagi, as they say in my home country. The recent years haven't been easy for Finnish print industry, but somehow this quality magazine magazine has managed to survive, probably because no other Finnish magazine quite covers the same topics and themes the way Image does. Every month you can expect quality reporting, amazing and often controversial profile pieces, and writings by the best columnists in the country. Image magazine has a reputation of being slightly snobbish and insular, written by well-educated people of Helsinki to their liking. There may be a pinch of truth in that, but I don't mind. If I want to read about pension cuts and anti-immigrant opinion pieces in my home country, I can turn to pretty much any other publication in Finland.
I'm Gaia Lutz from Monocle 24, and the book I'd recommend someone getting someone else for Christmas is a Brazilian book called Ainda Estou Aqui, which translates as I'm Still Here, by Marcelo Rubens Paiva. Marcelo Rubens Paiva is a famous writer in Brazil. His previous novel was very, very successful. But this one talks about something very particular to his life. He was the son of a very famous politician in Brazil, Rubens Paiva, who was tortured and killed during the military dictatorship. And this book, although it seems a little bit heavy now, this book is actually a beautiful homage to his mother, who stood strong and was a mother and father for him his whole life. All the meanwhile, you can also learn a lot about Brazilian history. Given what's happening in Brazil now, I think this book is very timely and a very appropriate gift for someone, or for me, even.
I'm Joe Pickard, Monocle's books editor. Well, actually, I've got to the point in my flat where I've got books in every single corner, so I need a bookshelf before I can get another book. But, I'm hoping someone's going to give me Everything We Touch by Paola Zuccotti. She basically photographs everything that someone touches in 24 hours, people from around the world, and there's something about seeing all those objects in one place that the collector in me gets excited. You know, it's all organized very neatly, it's beautifully photographed, it's kind of a reflection on who we are as people. I think photography in a book is really important, and a book like this one, where everything's very neatly laid out, really resonates with me and my aesthetics.
One of the magazines that I always look forward to around the festive period is the Christmas bumper special of Private Eye, my favourite magazine, principally because it features their sort of satirical shop for novelty items where they lampoon deserving figures of the day. So I'll be very happy if somebody buys me a copy of that. The book that I'm looking forward to giving as a gift is by... Well, it's actually a compendium, a book of maps, and one of the editorial team is actually joining us on the Monocle Weekly this week to tell us about the process. And it's called simply Map, it's by Fiden, and it's an astonishing array of maps throughout all of human history. The kind of thing you can pore over every page, whether they're by great artists, by early man, explorers, astronauts, it's simply sensational. And I've got a couple of people in mind who I hope will rather enjoy receiving that in their stocking.
The lovely Tom Edwards there. We'll be hearing more from our team here at Midori House shortly. Right now, though, probably time for, well, maybe I was going to say apple juice. I think it's more of a coffee break moment. You're listening to a very special edition of The Stack here on Monocle 24. When we come back, we'll be joined by Nancy Durham.
There's a new Monocle book weighing in at 400 pages that's packed with everything you need to know about making a great place to live. The Monocle Guide to Cozy Homes is filled with handsome residences and all the contacts you need to make a home that will last a lifetime. It's a book that celebrates the people who know homes should be able to cope with kids, dogs, and a few scuff marks. It's a book that knows a home is only as good as the community it's in. And it's a book that takes you through the front doors of everything from mountain hideaways to modernist towers. So be cozy and buy your copy today at monocle.com.
And you're back with The Stack here on Monocle 24. We're just gone a little bit to quarter past the hour, and we are live outside, just beyond the animal pen here at Midori House, and also we're about 44 minutes away until we throw open the doors to our Christmas market. I'm joined, of course, by Georgina Godwin, looking, as I said, a little bit earlier, rather fine in some excellent fur. Andrew Tuck, our editor, also Nancy Durham is here as well. Nancy, we'll come to you in a moment, but Georgina, you were in Guadalajara recently at the book fair. So, of course, we've heard from many other of our editors so far. We'll be hearing from them a bit later on as well. What stood out at the fair? If you had to say there was, you know, one or two authors, one or two new titles that people have to have for the holidays, what would they be?
You know, it came across as much more businessy, but of course, in any language, the Man Booker Prize is the big thing. So for me, I mean, if I had to choose, I think two of those, it would be the two. And I'm very pleased to say that Monocle actually called this one before anybody else. We got Marlon James, who ended up winning the prize in before he was even on the long list, with his wonderful book, which is A Brief History of Seven Killings. And that, of course, was plastered across the fair because people were very, very... people obviously always want the winning title. The fair itself, though, is extraordinary in that it attracts something like 800,000 people. And when you consider that Frankfurt's its nearest rival with just under 270,000, it's absolutely massive. And that for a country, Mexico, which really doesn't have a big reading population.
No, absolutely. I think Wales has a big reading population, at least I hope it does.
Well, Mothership, the Hay Literary Festival,
absolutely,
is there, so of course, yes.
Nancy Durham is here. Now, you're of course, many people know that you are often around these very microphones in the capacity as a presenter and journalist. But today, you have your apron's not on yet. I hope you're going to put your apron on soon.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to wear an apron today. I think one needs to vary it from time to time.
I think there's expectations on the part of your audience. But anyway, Nancy, you're here representing your farmer's business. So for those who don't know farmers, tell us about it.
Well, we are distillers of lavender oil high in the hills of Wales, that rainy, windy, blustery country. And our oils go into our products. Our brand is Farmers. And we have Farmers hand cream, Farmers body cream. Today we're launching Farmers all over wash.
All over wash?
Yeah, all over your body.
Oh, not all of wash.
No, all over.
Right.
If Lucy was here, I meant to bring one of my tractors as well. We're launching a tractor made for us. It is exactly our tractor symbol.
But this is not full size because we've got a very interesting story in the forecast about Komatsu and their tractor business. But this is more of a wood variety.
It's a wood thing made by hand, one by one, by Ed Payne in Pembrokeshire. And they are gorgeous, beautifully made.
And you promise
made.
They are made in Wales. There's not a massive... cargo ship coming in from Shenzhen.
And each tag has information about the day on which it was made, out of cherry, out of oak, out of beech. They're gorgeous.
More rain.
So I want you to come and see them.
More rain again in Wales today. Tell us anything new in terms of other premieres here. Chocolate today. I'm trying to prompt you.
Launching. Oh, sorry. Well, there's so much going on. Farmers is really growing. Our business is growing. We have a new chocolate bar, which is absolutely creamy and delicious. It is a Welsh lavender char bar made for us by Doble and Bignall near Cheltenham, and it is sensational. It's got some gingery notes in it, even though there's no ginger. I think it's the effect of that high, fresh altitude.
It's got gingery notes with no ginger.
Well, you know, you read the wine notes and it'll say
but
it doesn't really have that in it.
Got it.
It's Welsh lavender. It's sensational. I urge you to come and try it. I tried to seduce you with one a little earlier.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not really a chocolate person.
Yeah.
And you're looking on like... you might be in need of an all-over wash, maybe.
Yeah, I think she should run like a sheep dip, but for adults.
We do that.
You should just dunk people in like a bath of your stuff.
That's a special program. They do run down at the farm,
actually. We do that on the farm, and we have a new card that has been made, a print for us, of our pond, Patter, and you're familiar with our pond. You could have an all-over wash in there.
I had an all-over wash in that pond.
And afterwards, you have an all-over body lotion experience right there in the outdoors or indoors. Well, they're two really neat products, and try them.
I also like is when people come down here, Nancy's very quickly grabbing people's passing hands and lubricating them.
I don't usually call it that, but yes. Softening
or moisturizing.
Moisturizing.
Normally, right?
But Andrew, you can pop by for some lubricating later. We'll be happy to.
Now, can you tell us, when you're looking across to 2016, we've got the forecast in front. Where's Farmers going next? Do you think that, are you looking at... Middle East, so many big retailers going to Dubai potentially. Maybe they want a bit of sort of lavender action there.
Can you put me in touch with someone in Dubai?
I'm sure
We're not in the Middle East. We are in sync a little bit. We're in monocle shops here and there, as you know. Now, someone's handed you a prompt.
Well, indeed, but I'm gonna hand the prompt back back to Andrew, which is a very, very good print story out of this issue. When we were at the Frankfurt Book Fair, there was a fantastic stand beside us from a company, well, from one of the brands, which is called Landlust. But Landlust belongs to a very, very large German agricultural publisher. Now, speaking of tractors, Andrew, they've got a website called tractor.de, don't they?
Yeah, it's the biggest place in Europe. If you're looking for a used tractor, or I had a look on the site, if you want like
a shit spreader.
Yeah, shit spreader. If you want a machine that plants daffodil bulbs, if you want a leek puller, if you want a spudder, they've got the whole everything.
You heard it here first, listeners, tractor.de.
I've written it down, and guess what's on my list?
Yeah, so anyway.
I do want a tractor.
This company is quite extraordinary, amazing headquarters, and they are the leading agricultural publishing company out of Germany.
Yeah, and they've made this amazing. So they do all the B2B magazines, but they do this magazine about encouraging people to go back and live on the land. It doesn't have a huge amount of advertising, but it sells something like 1 million copies.
It's the highest selling periodical in Germany, which is amazing, bi-monthly. So anyway, listeners, it sort of predates where Martha Stewart is. It is gritty. It is real. You know, I think they make a point. There's no stylist involved. So they came down to. If they came down to Wales, for example, there wouldn't be a van with hairdressers and hair and makeup. Not that you need it.
I think you should be telephoning them, suggesting some like non-German farmers come over to have a bit of get creamed up
for some lubricating.
But becoming a farmer, doing what I'm doing, you really do. You really get turned on by fabulous tractors. And you want to do your own thing.
Right.
You don't want to have to call the farmer in the next valley.
To borrow
three
his
or four
track.
Or five times to come over and do it when you just want to get out there and do it today.
Right.
So I'm looking for something called a compact tractor.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got, there's lots of cool magazines out there. Farm Machinery Journal magazine
and
for modern
Andrew's
farm
desk.
Machinery.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Tractor magazines. I do like tractor magazines. And when I travel the world, as I do still occasionally,
yeah.
I was in Bishkek the other week. I saw a fantastic tractor. I can't tell you the brand because I think it was assembled from bits of tractors.
Oh, right. I was going to say it was sort of an
ex-SSR
brand.
Yeah,
maybe.
And sort of like turquoise and a bit of ochre. And it was a beautiful little tractor. So I'm learning about them and I'm yearning for a tractor.
Do you have a mechanical thing to harvest the lavender?
We do. We have a Japanese tea plucker. And two people carry. It's like
don't say that too fast on radio.
Japanese tea plucker. And we two people carry it along. It's like a two-handed hedge cutter, like this handed gin, and you take off the tops of the lavender quickly and get it over to the still and distill it and steam it and make oil.
Nancy Durham, absolutely fantastic. You've got about 36 minutes till we throw open the doors. Very good to see you.
Thank you.
Nancy's going to be here all weekend.
Thank you.
At our Christmas market. We're going to hear now from a few more of our editors, designers, and, of course, associates here at Midori House with their Christmas wish list. We'll be back in a moment.
I'm Fernando Augusto Pacheco from Monaco 24, and this Christmas I treated myself for three industry publications. I used to read their websites all the time, but then I said I would love to have a physical copy every week. So I decided to buy the subscriptions for Billboard Magazine, which is all about the music industry, The Hollywood Reporter, which is all about Hollywood, and of course Variety, which is this iconic American publication about the cinema industry, the TV industry. And you know, I'm a sucker for numbers as well, so it's lovely to see the charts. I mean, how the industry is working, and you kind of feel part of the industry when you read those titles as well. And especially in the UK, it's kind of hard, you know, to get copies every week, you know, and sometimes it can be a bit expensive. So I treated myself for a subscription of all those three titles. I probably wouldn't give this to my friends because it's too many numbers for them. I'll probably give a more of a beautiful magazine full of nice pictures, perhaps the Travel Almanac, you know, and then could give some nice ideas for them to travel. Being like a little island in Asia, or the latest nice beach in Brazil.
So I'm pretty picky with the books I read. I think there are too many good books in the world to really spend time on ones that you actually don't want. So I'm going to give a recommendation, one that I hope to give to a bunch of people around me, friends and family. It is Michelle Houellebecq's Submission, which I just finished, the genius French novelist and poet. If you haven't read anything by Houellebecq, I would start with The Elementary Particles, also known as Atomized, and then move on to Submission, which just came out a few months ago. So this book, it follows a professor in a near future France, only about 5 years in the future from now, a little bit more than that, actually, when the Muslim Brotherhood rises to the office of the presidency and government. Obviously, highly controversial, given all that's happened in France, from Charlie Hebdo to the recent attacks. But really, it's a really dark satire, and it's a really good read. So I suggest you go out and get it.
I'm Ben Ryland from Monocle 24. This Christmas, I'm very much looking forward, well, at least hoping, to receive a new book that's out about the actress Barbara Stanwyck. Of course, the classic actress from, well, I guess she's probably best known for her work in the 1940s and the 1950s. She actually started her work in silent films, and there's this wonderful new epic edition all about her life called Steel True, 1907 to 1940. And it really covers a lot of the most significant events that led up to the career of Barbara Stanwyck. I think that she was such a wonderful icon of her time, not just because she was such a brilliant screen actress. For a long time, I believe she actually held the record for the most number of Academy Award nominations without actually winning an Academy Award. She didn't receive an Oscar until her career had ended, and then she received an honorary Oscar, sort of an attempt by the Academy to rectify a glaring omission. Barbara Stanwyck was most definitely one of the most incredible screen actresses, very well known for her ability to convey such fragility while also portraying such dominance as well. And she was often known as one of the most progressively modern women on screen too. And this wonderful new book by Victoria Wilson, it looks to be an absolutely epic piece of literature, and I'm very much looking forward to spending my holiday season reading all about the life and times of Barbara Stanwyck.
That was our Ben Ryland and some of our other colleagues there with their Christmas wish list. More than about 90 seconds to go. Before we say goodbye, Andrew, just very quickly, I've already bought your present, what would, if you could give one magazine, what would it be? A subscription?
That's a test. I still think that it's been an interesting year for the New York Times. I like the New York Times magazine. I like Die Zeit magazine. If I was going to get the Die Zeit, the specials, I think that would be an amazing thing to give to somebody.
Okay, well, it wasn't a trick question, but there goes your Christmas bonus. You're supposed to encourage the magazine that you edit. But anyway, Georgina, very quickly.
I'd like a subscription to Pirini Press, which is a different European novella in translation every month.
Excellent. Well, that brings
us... As well
us,
as a Monocle.
Of course. That brings us to the end of this very special edition of The Stack. Georgina, I'm going to be sticking around for the next 30 minutes, but that is it for this program. Andrew Tuck, always good to see you. We'll see you, of course, around the pen in a little while. Georgina is going to be sticking around. I hope that during the break I can at least go and find a bit of fur to hopefully compete. Today's program was researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Our studio manager is Claire Urban. Toby Hammond is manning the desk out beside me here in the windy courtyard here at Midori House. The program was produced by Ben Ryland. We're here all weekend at the Christmas Fair. We'll be broadcasting right up until 1600 today. Georgina Godwin will be here. We'll also be broadcasting from the site. If you're in and around London, then do come by and say hello. We're here right up until about 1800 London time. But for me, Tyler Brulé, have a very good weekend. Goodbye.